This is Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk. There's more at my website, allbook-books.com. And you can subscribe for free, or you can pay a little bit of money to read my most recent poems and essays posted at the Substack page, Musings from Between the Lines. An ongoing essay segment that I do for many years is called Cone Fragments of a Distorted World. That's when I can't quite find a common thread to gel for an essay. So this is a bit of the Cone Fragments, some general ideas just to flip out there a bit. First off, there was a huge push for the journalistic integrity to free Julian Assange. Many writers and journalists ignored completely. Many writers ignored that completely, which showed the hypocrisy of the mainstream corporate media for the most part. But there was a huge amount of protests and such like. Eventually, Assange was freed. And so that's a great story. It was considered, well, if he doesn't get freed, this will be the end of journalism as we know it. Well, here's what I've noticed since all that impetus towards him, which is great, but the way the system of domination works is that it seems to me like that was throwing a bone, a big bone. If you're Julian Assange, that's a big bone. If you're Stella Assange and their kids, that's a big bone. But throwing a bone, because since then I have noticed even more crackdowns on other journalists. For example, Richard Medhurst was arrested, interrogated, I forget the details, traveling somewhere. Ilan Pappe was also interrogated when he was traveling. Some journalist, somebody I don't know, but I saw Roger Waters post a thing about Sarah Wilkinson arrested for saying something about pro-Palestine. Craig Murray, who has actually reported on Assange a lot, and then a German gentleman who has been doing a lot of reports during the COVID times, which is offered differing vantage point than the mainstream. Yes, a German lawyer, Dr. Rainer Fuhlmich. He's in prison for posting and talking about other than the mainstream corporate storyline. So basically, I refer to the old back in the day, many days. There's a list. I put a short list in my book, Moving Through the Empty Gate Forest, of the book burnings. So the powers that do too much, they love to squelch information. Anything that contradicts their storyline, do not point to their wart, because they don't want people to talk about that. Basically, that's how the system works with anything that thwarts the actual story, the true storyline. Much of the whole educational system is revisionist history, again, trying to counteract the actual storyline. Otherwise known as the truth, or at least a debate about what is the truth or what's going on. Item number two, race. I think there's an underlying, I realized this when it came to 9/11 and the anniversary, and to nary a mention of the approximately 1 million, mostly brown, Arab, Islamics, multi different countries, people that have been killed in the war of terror. The global war of terror, hardly a mention. Not to diminish the Americans and others that were killed in the attacks on 9/11, but why not the mention of the other approximately a million people? The absurd, extreme extreme overreaction. So what I came up with was it's a subtle level of racism, that the U.S. harbors a subtle level of racism. People do not care about, or if it's not racism, it's just because there are people over there, the brown people over there, the people with a different religion over there. So if it's not racism, it's just some kind of ignorance or unwillingness to, or difficulty in facing the reality of the paradigm shift that would happen if one has to deal with that. So that's my theory on that one. And then we go to Victoria Nuland confirms that the West told Zelensky to abandon peace deal. Ukraine-Russia talks fell apart after Kiev asked foreign backers for advice. The former U.S. Deputy Secretary of State has said the U.S., U.K., and other backers of Ukraine told Kiev to reject the deal reached at 2022 Istanbul peace talks with Russia. Former U.S. Undersecretary of State Victoria Nuland has said. So there's the war incorporated, the war machine, the military-industrial complex, and its foreign backers at work. They don't want peace. That's the thing that's messed up. They don't want peace. Netanyahu does not want peace. So how does one deal with that? That becomes, to admit to my next point, the analyzing of the news and the talk and the this and the that. But a lot of times it's just, what about just calmly saying that some of these people are insane psychopaths. Insane psychopaths. They do not deserve the press they get. That's why I'm minimally, as minimal as I can, to try to get the gists of the trends following the election campaign with Trump and Kamala, because both of them condone and support Israel on the ongoing genocide. Insane, psychopathic. Doesn't mean they don't have other parts of themselves that are actually have some sanity and that are, let's say, pathic. But when it comes to that, insane psychopaths. And then one more bit I noticed recently, or I've noticed this over the years of talking to people and bringing up uncomfortable situations. I get answers that are like, well, nobody's perfect. And, you know, it's human nature. We've been battling for whatever, how long. And I just find those comments to be sort of, they neutralize and they denigrate the opportunity to discuss something, to really face some things that are atrocious. Rather, it's to dismiss them. It's just human nature. It's just that nobody's perfect. But there's no going forward in that conversation. So, and it comes up sometimes in mentioning the history with the U.S. and in Native peoples. And it's just like, oh, it's a thing of the past and nobody's perfect. And that was at the time. That's how people thought and blah, blah, blah. But I just find that to be evasive and to negate the seriousness of what needs to be faced and what people avoid facing. And adding one more, the 79th UN General Assembly Pact for the Future. Eleven policy proposals. Gets into digital IDs, vaccine passports, massive censorship. You can read more about it, but what I want to highlight is that some of the language, rapid advances in technology and science. These are the same highlights that were touted at the Vladivostok Economic Forum. So here's the supposedly opposite sides. You got in the U.S., the U.N., and Russia, supposedly opposite sides, but they're both touting technology and science. So I take major note, because there's little or no mention of spirit in matter, as if you listen to the Dumbing Down episode, that was one of the Dumbing Downs. Spirit in matter is a basic principle, and that's in the earth as well, the earth as matter. which has spirit. Then it goes on to say, hold the promise of a better, more peaceful and prosperous future for people and the planet. Sounds good, but who are they talking about? And who do they represent? If you don't ask these questions, then you can get hoodwinked. And it goes on to say, this is at the UN site about the future summit, future of the summit. In our interconnected and fast-changing world, we are not keeping pace with emerging risks and opportunities. Well, who's creating most of the risks and the opportunity and the fast-changing in the world? That's the technology and the wars. So instead of focusing on making peace, they try to salvation as La Corte Frantiocson says, salvation point mentality. They project it into the future, like the second coming, like Elijah who hasn't showed up at the Passover. Forget about the wars going on right now. Let's talk about the future. The future for our children and such like. Meanwhile, probably 10, 15,000 children have been killed in Palestine, in Gaza, because of certain United Nations. Germany, Britain, US, Israel. And then they mentioned sustainable development goals, but they don't say who's sustainable. I see zero mention of indigenous original peoples. Maybe it's on the website. I didn't delve that far. Climate emergency and such like. But you got to watch a lot of these things. They just present these buzzwords and these abstract things that sound good. A global community. We face a pivotal choice. Well, yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then if they did listen to the indigenous people, they might remind themselves that Chief Arvel Looking Horse in 2001, in his book White Buffalo Teachings, and he's been saying this for a long time, there's a quote, our prophecies tell us that we are at the crossroads. We face chaos, disaster, and endless tears from our relatives' eyes, meaning all relations, all beings, trees, birds, flowers, etc. Or we can unite spiritually in peace and harmony. It's time to bring the message of the urgent need for peace, of creating an energy shift throughout the world. There's that word again, peace, peace, peace. But Victoria Nuland, as I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, they don't want peace. And there's, as Shakespeare would say, there's the rub, there's the log, there's the gridlock at the crossroads. So how do we undo that? That's a big question. But anyway, at least try to see through the nonsense and try to find another way to make peace. And a PS note with regard to Julian Assange and the caning or interrogating of other journalists now. The U.S. Empire, the meddler in other countries' business, it won't clean up its own mess at home. U.S. sanctions against RT. RT is a news site. I check it every day. There's a lot of good information there. Somewhat from a Russian angle, but I find it just the information. It's not the bias part. There's opinions, there's editorials. But it gives little information, like where would I learn that U.S. sanctions against Russia, RT, Russia Today, RT, are aggression. And this is Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova, who has quite the ability to speak and identify the issues. She says, yesterday, Russian journalists became victims of the aggression from the United States of America. They were subjected to a real terrorist and information attack, both as a corporation and as individuals. We cannot remain silent. What is happening now to Russian journalists and media organizations could happen to each and every one of you, she warned, addressing BRICS members while urging the global community to express solidarity. This is a crime. This is an assault of freedom of speech. This is an assault on the profession of journalism. This is an assault on human dignity. This is exactly what was said about Assange, imprisoning Assange before he was freed. So that's why I said that he, you know, that was great, but that was just, you know, that was like a token
a bone, throwing a bone. So we'll see how it plays out. And then the other factor that I take great note of is that now the IMF is backing BRICS expansion. So the IMF is one of the nastiest organizations. If you've listened to Bruce Coburn's longtime song, Call It Democracy, he has the refrain, IMF, dirty MF. And that'll about tell you what's going on there. So I'm got my eyebrow raised that the IMF is backing BRICS, because that could compromise the BRICS breaking away from the U.S. empire. So it's a tangled mess geopolitics, as it always is.
So that's all I got on the mini rant this week. So thanks for listening, and be well.